Hello and welcome to our special program on the Year of Faith, The Faithful Witness, a series on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.
You are listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly feature based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. These are people who lived their ordinary lives in extraordinary ways. They are examples of great fortitude and virtue. Their unique stories inspire us to be rooted in our faith. God calls each one of us today to inspire our brothers and sisters and to be witnesses of our faith. Last week, we listened to the dramatic conversion experience of Dr. Alexandra Campbell. Born and brought up in a Catholic family in New York, she is a practicing psychologist in a hospital in California, USA. Torn apart by her parents' divorce, and then having experienced various religious traditions in search of solace and truth, she is back to Catholicism. Our faithful witness of today, Dr. Alexandra Campbell, shares with us her dramatic experiences in life, what she learned from the various religious traditions, and where they led her to. Her experiences between her professional life and faith life and more. Alexandra, welcome back to Vatican Radio. Indeed, a wonderful experience.
I became Catholic in 2006, basically because none of those other faith traditions that I practiced in the Christian religion really fulfilled me all the way. And I would always kind of go for a long time and do Bible study, sometimes in my home, sometimes with people in churches, but it kind of never really stuck all the way. And I said to myself one day, I was going to go on a Buddhist retreat to a friend of mine who was Catholic. And he looked at me and pointed his finger right at my face and said, "You are just a good Catholic girl and you need to come back to the church." And I laughed in his face. But the next day or two, I was driving my car to work, and I looked up literally in the clouds, and I thought I saw Jesus holding a lamb with the shepherd's crook, and I said, "Okay, Lord, what do you want from me?" And I turned my car the other direction and went back and drove to the Catholic Church, and that was in 2006. So I talked to the priest, same priest whom my fiancé had been offended by, and he explained what he meant. And my fiancé, we were now married in the Episcopal Church. He explained everything to him, and he asked his forgiveness for any misunderstanding. And my husband and I entered the church. We had our marriage blessed after he received his annulment in about 2008. So that was how that happened.
Now that you have been through various religious traditions of faith experiences, there must have been some truth in all of them.
Well, yes, especially in the Christian traditions that I explored, I found truth in each one, obviously. In the Hindu-ish sort of group that I was with, it was very tricky to say because there was so much beauty that it was, I think there was the deceptive side to it, though, that was kind of blinding in the way the beauty, you know, in the Bible it does say Satan can come as an angel of light. So while I think the people that were there were genuine and had a good heart and were very well motivated, I mean, I was literally worshiping stone idols. I was bowing down in front of stone idols and worshiping them with an oil lamp. And we had things where we would, they would dress up the statues and put food out for them and things. And everybody, there was so much beauty, but there was something in there that was, I was keeping myself from the truth of fully embracing Jesus Christ. Because even in that tradition, they said, well, you can have Jesus too. It's okay. They were fine with that. But I didn't know that it was not.
In each of these religious traditions, you were ardently looking for truth. And then finally you found a place to rest, so to say, where your search ended.
Exactly. And I think what it was that nailed it for me in when I was coming out of the Hindu tradition was the idea that I was a sinner and I was broken inside. Once I realized that and accepted it, I actually had an experience about 3 months before my brother went in the hospital where I was on my bed in the middle of the night crying out to God because there was a scandal in my Hindu group, a scandal with money and things, you know, immorality, and I lost some faith in it. Now, humans in any religious tradition can be imperfect, but it made me question the whole thing, and I found myself crying out to God. And one night I said, God, I need a safe religion. And then I heard myself say, I need a savior. The minute I said that, I took it back. I wanted to repudiate that because part of me said, oh, no, I don't need a savior. I'm a good person. I'm fine. What do I need a savior? And then I said, well, okay, Lord, I said it. I don't know what it means. And a month later or 2 months later, I found myself in that hospital room. So the idea of needing a savior had finally gotten in a little crack into my heart. And that's what I think led me to the fullness of the faith. And the other Christian traditions are wonderful, but they don't have the Eucharist, which is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity that we can receive into our bodies. And that's why I'll never leave the Catholic Church.
And you are a psychologist holding a doctorate in that subject. You never thought of faith as a psychologically induced thing?
Oh, yes. It was awful. I mean, I actually started my graduate studies right at the same time as when I was beginning in the Hindu tradition. And it was antithetical to that, really. The school I went to was extremely behavioristic. I mean, we weren't even allowed to read Freud or Jung. We were Skinner. We were Watkins, very strict behaviorists. You don't look inside the person. You look at the behavior and you do things to the outside. I knew that was wrong, but I had trained that way all the way through my undergraduate experience at UCLA. So I was going that direction and I didn't know enough to open myself up yet to more humanistic sides of psychology. So in my graduate training, I found that it was a very ultra-orthodox behavioristic, and I had to escape from that first into more Freudian or Jungian and a little bit, you know, Jung at least allows more for the spiritual to be acceptable as a topic for study or for knowing the person or helping the person. So I had to really broaden my horizons. For a long time, though, I felt like it was horribly compartmentalized, my faith life, from my professional scientific life, and that was difficult.
Where do you find the integration of psychology and spirituality?
The way I dealt with it at first was I quit seeing patients. In about 1997, I couldn't practice psychology anymore because my faith in Christ was getting so strong. And I basically thought, well, I'm doing therapy, quote unquote, with people, but I'm really just holding their hands while they're on their way to hell. I mean, a lot of them. That's what I thought. But I worked in a very secular university, University of California, San Francisco Medical Center. And so I couldn't really bring up the spiritual so much unless the client brought it up first. And then I would, but I felt like I needed to leave the field. And so I spent many years just doing research, because if you just do research, working with numbers, writing reports, doing all those things, you don't have to think about it. Now I have come back really only in the last year to working with patients in the emergency room at my local hospital, where I evaluate them if they are psychotic or suicidal or have taken a drug overdose. I decide whether they have to go to the psychiatric hospital as an inpatient or if they can be released from the emergency room to go home. So this is a wonderful opportunity for ministry, and I'm just beginning to find my way into a fully Catholic way of practicing psychology, which does exist, I believe, and I have to research more.
That was Alexandra Campbell sharing with us her faith experiences.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You
shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your word in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always.
You have been listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly series based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. Our faithful witness of today has been Dr. Alexandra Campbell from California.